Good morning. Yeah, praise God. It's good to be in the house today. Praise God. Well, welcome to Banner of Truth Family Church. Welcome to Casual Sunday. Casual Sunday. I got my sneakers on today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house today. In spite of the weather, in spite of the rain, the sun is still shining. Amen. Did you know that the sun is always shining? Did you know that? Somewhere the sun is still shining. Amen. Shining bright. Amen. That reminds me and encourages me that even when there are circumstances and challenges that are going on, God is still on the throne. Amen. The sun is still shining. And sooner or later, those clouds, they're going to have to subside. They're going to have to move aside because the sun is still shining. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. See, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Right? There are times that even as you're believing God, even as you're faithful doing his work, there's still going to be challenges. God never said that there won't be challenges that you face as you come across, but he did promise that he'll never leave you. He did promise that he'd never forsake you. Hallelujah. And so we stand on the promises of God. The only way to really know the promises of God, you have to sit down and listen to what the word of God says so that you know what the promises of God are. Amen. How many Bible-believing people do we have in the house today? Hallelujah. So you know God's promises for your life. You know that you are the head and not the tail. You know that you are above and not beneath. You know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, that means you got something to shout about this morning. Hallelujah. That means you know that song that we just got done singing, it wasn't just a song. It wasn't just lyrics on a page. It's the word of God that Jesus is in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're here. And last time I checked, the Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. God is on the inside of me. His Spirit is on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And I take him wherever I go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he's on the inside of you, that means he's in your home. Come on, he's in your house. When you go home, he's there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You got to remember that. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you got to take control of the atmosphere. You got to take control of the surroundings and say, no, wait a minute. No. God is in this house. God lives in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. When I think about it, see, I got to remind myself sometimes. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is in this place today. Thank you, Lord. So, Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, we thank you for your presence in this place today. We thank you that you are here now. Spirit of the living God. And we ask you that you would speak to our hearts today. You're not a waster of time. You don't waste anything. And I thank you that you're here for such a time as this to speak to the hearts of these dear men and women, boys and girls in this place today. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to us and causing us to have transformation on the inside out, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Only you can do it. And so we submit ourselves to you. On this day, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, again, I want to welcome you to Banner of Truth Family Church. And today we're going to continue with what I started out with last week. Last week was Back to Church Sunday. And I want to just follow up with that message last week. Last week I talked about us being together. Amen. You remember that? Were you here? How many of you were here last week and got to experience the service? Amen. Praise God. I believe that God's word went forth and the Spirit of God moved, and I believe he's going to continue to do that today. Today, I want to talk about us together, we grow stronger. Together, we grow stronger. How many of you know that there's strength in numbers? There's strength in numbers. Together. And we're going to draw our lessons today out of the book of Ephesians. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, if you would turn to that book, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And our people are in here today. You guys follow along and you're able to take your notes today. And I believe that this will be something that will bless everybody in this room today. Praise God. So again, last week we talked about the church in Ephesus as a group of believers who face challenges not unlike the ones that the church faces today. They were a group of people living in a fast-paced city, surrounded by powerful religions and various philosophies. They were a multicultural mix of people themselves, Jews and Gentiles, and they were trying to figure out how to interweave their lives and live out their faith in Jesus in their time. In light of those challenges, Paul emphasizes over and over again the importance of togetherness in understanding the gospel story of Jesus. The story and redemptive work of God to bring us together with himself, and how that story impacts our lives personally and changes our world. See, this wasn't an easy topic for believers then, and I believe it's not an easy topic for believers now, even in this culture. But they read and discussed Paul's words together, and they studied his teachings together. Now, likewise, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to study his teachings together in this service. Amen. Amen. As we study and explore the ideas Paul presents, it's because we want to understand and to renew our commitment as a church, as Banner of Truth Family Church, of being a welcoming community in love and peace and grace and impact in this day and present time, in this world. Amen. How many of you want to make an impact? Amen. I really want to make an impact. I don't want to just do church. You know what I mean? I don't just want to just, that's just, you know, it's time, it's Sunday, it's time. No, I want to make an impact where we're not just doing church, we're being church. You hear what I'm saying? You understand? I'm not trying to play. I'm just saying we need to actually be the church. And that's what they were learning, the church, the early church, they were learning how to be the church. So we're on this journey, encouraging and supporting each other, walking together to discover the greater purpose and calling of God in our lives. As individuals and as a collective church body, God has a plan for us all. Amen. The church, by its very nature, is a place where we live and learn and worship and grow and make an impact in our world. Jesus is the answer. And guess what? We're not going to make an impact just by ourselves. We have to do it together. We have to do it together. Now, peace and love shown through the gospel story now become our story. Because of the redemptive and transforming power of the gospel, we now respond with the everyday, every relationship actions of our lives. See, I want the word of God, I want the peace of God to be present on Monday. I don't want to leave this place and then I have to go back to money. I want to know that I have his peace when I clock in tomorrow. You know, you hear what I'm saying? How many of you want to know that you have his peace when you go to the doctor's office? Yes. Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of peace. That's the kind of transformation that I'm talking about. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We'll start there. And Paul is speaking. And he says in the first verse, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. He also goes on to say this. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, Jesus brought peace. He brought real joy to the world. Today we follow Ephesians and turn our attention to how we let those things shape the way we live and treat other people. Remember last week I talked about, you know, what do people think when they hear the word church? They ought to think love when they hear the word church. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, that doesn't just automatically happen. That love has to be expressed through the people of God. That love is the difference from us doing church and actually being the church. Amen. Collectively, together. Yes, there is love. Yes, you know, you ever been to a church and you go in and it didn't feel like you were supposed to be there? Have you? Did you feel the presence of God in that place when you went in there? Did you feel the love of God when you went in that place? Now, there might have been some people in there who actually love God and actually sincerely cared for other people. But unfortunately, when you visited that church, you weren't able to come in contact with that individual. You walked in and you just had this experience that, like, man, I don't want to go back to there, right? See, it's not just enough for one person to do the right thing. It's not just enough for Sister Bundaran to love God. Amen. She loves God and serving God. But God wants us all collectively in agreement, in unity, loving God and loving other people. We got to do this together. We can't just lean on Sister so-and-so and Brother so-and-so. Oh, they got it. You know, oh, yeah, it's prayer this Sunday. Yeah, they going to pray. No, we need you to pray. Together. Together. Amen. Collectively, corporately, people should know that when they walk into a church that they can sense God's love. So earlier I said that there is strength in numbers. So that's my first point. Strength in numbers. Let's turn together for our key text here in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at verse 15. And it says this, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of... Come on, y'all with me today? See, he wants us all working together. He wants us all working together. Now, let me give you a little illustration here. Have you ever visited or seen pictures of the headwaters of the greatest rivers in our country, in our nation? Anybody? Yeah? One, two. Y'all got to get out more, man. Y'all got to go see some stuff. Yeah, there we go. All right. All right. So three people, man. We're going to plan a trip. We're just going to get a bus and just go to... But I think about the mighty Mississippi River. Anybody ever seen the mighty Mississippi River, right? How amazing. I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff. But the mighty Mississippi, see, when the largest and most powerful rivers, when they start, they are merely drops of snow melt. And they're finding their way downhill to a place where the drops become trickles, and the trickles become channels, and the channels become streams, and eventually the streams become rivers. They go from mere individual drops of water to raging forces of nature that can carve out the likes of the Grand Canyon. Have you ever wondered, like, how a river starts? It's amazing how just little bitty drops of water, when you get enough of them together, how they're able to transform and change their environment. Some of y'all may see where I'm going here. God is wanting to inspire his people to be to come together, to dwell together, to grow together, to learn together, to love one another. And that begins to grow, and that begins to grow. It comes to a point that that love, that collectiveness, that body cannot be contained, and it has to begin to make room for itself. That is what God is wanting to do with his church, with his kingdom. To begin to go and take over with love. See, those drops of water, they didn't change. They remained the same, but the power came from them coming together. They came together. Amen. See, there's strength in numbers. Acts 2 and 42, we see an example of the church coming together. It says, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. Can you imagine what we could do, just this congregation, what we could do if we begin to make steps of faith like these believers did? If we began to come together and pool together our resources, our energy, and our efforts, what great things could we do in our community? In the name of Jesus. I got one or two amens, but I know that we see an example in Scripture where God was able to use a group of people in a mighty way. See, for the early church and for us today, there's also a bigger concept at play than the most basic research, the most basic search to find safety in food and shelter. Our togetherness as believers is more about strength for moving forward, not just for staying safe. See, there's an epidemic right now of people just wanting to play it safe. Churches just wanting to play it safe and just, we just got to figure out how we're going to survive. See, God doesn't want us to be trying to survive. He wants us to thrive. See, this that we have, this power that God has given to us, is not made to just be contained, not just made to just be stagnant and stay in one place. You know what happens to a body of water when it just stays in one place? It begins stagnant. It begins to stink. Stuff starts to grow in it that shouldn't be in it. I mean, it just starts to, right? All kinds of bacteria and stuff. It just get just nasty. I'm sorry to say, but that's how some churches have become. Just stagnant. Just, you know, that's just what we do. That's what we always did. That's what mom and them did. That's what granddaddy did. That's just how we do it. Don't know why we do it, but that's just how why we do it. You know, I'll say this, that, you know, it's not wrong, nothing wrong with asking questions. Nothing wrong with asking questions and getting an understanding for why we do something. Does that make sense? See, if we lose why we do it, or we're not able to communicate to the next generation why we do something, then that next generation is going to lose it, what it is that we do. Does that make sense? We need to be prepared to not only say what we believe, but say why we believe it and why it's important. Amen. To teach the next generation, hey, God is love. Don't listen to the world out here that's trying to dictate and tell you what God is. The Word of God says that He is love. He is good. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. So let's do this. Let's look at the book of Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning, right? The beginning. From the beginning of time, human beings were created to live in relationship and community. Yeah. From the beginning of time, God created us that way. In Genesis 1, we are told that Adam was alone in the garden, and God saw that it was not good. It was not good for him to be alone. So God created Eve, a companion. Right. Now, whether introverted, extroverted, no matter your personality or style, we as humans were created for relationship. Amen. Hear this loud and clear. That doesn't mean everyone has to be a greeter at the door on Sunday morning. You don't have to be the guy that's on the stage, but you were created for community. Remember, difference is key. Unity is not the same as uniformity. I said this the other day. I said this, that unity is not the same as uniformity. God didn't create us all to just be the same and be robots. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, people, I don't know, we sometimes we try too hard, and we just need to just obey God and just be honest. But, you know, we hear things, people say stuff like, you know, I don't see color. I do. you know, and I think that a lot of times what people are trying to do, maybe, you know, just unknowingly, but, or maybe just sincerely, they're trying to say that, you know, I accept other people that are different from me. But really, when you begin to say things like that, you start to go on that the wrong side of the ditch. Because, and I've seen this from different people. I've seen my black brothers and sisters. I've seen my white brothers and sisters say things like this. And you begin to start to lean so far to one side that you begin to despise who you are. I got quiet in this word, sure. Like, I just hate when, you know, we do this and that. Like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, I see you, brother. I see you're different than me, but you know what? I thank God for you, and I'm glad you're different. Be happy with how God created you. I'm thankful that I'm able to fellowship with you. And you're able to fellowship with me, and we're different. See, it's not about us being uniform and everybody's got to be the same. Everybody's got to look the same. Everybody's got to act the same. No, God created all of us to be different, but we're able to come together in unity. And I really like this word, harmony, because harmony means you have different notes, but they blend together. We're walking together, right? And that's what the church should look like. People that at the end of the day, no matter our differences, we still agree on the Bible. We agree on the Word of God. We agree on the truth of God's Word, and we live for God. But, you know, I might like to cook my food a little different than you, but that's okay, right? Amen. But very different people using unique talents and passions to connect and serve and experience and share God's love as the church can happen in the church together. Amen? Amen. Now, as we build community and fellowship with each other, however that may look, you know, however that might look, we become stronger together. And again, I want to be clear, this is not just about gathering more people. It's not just about filling the house or simply counting more heads and filling more seats. You know, that's not our ultimate goal. It's about the strength that numbers bring. Because more people means more influence, more creativity, more ability, more skill, more compassion, more relationship, more love, more support, and more impact in the world around us. Amen. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes gives a few great examples of how we are stronger together. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. It goes on to say, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be empowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. See, Paul explained to the church in Ephesians that this process of finding strength together started with Christ. And now it actually comes to us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. See, God didn't give us, Jesus Christ did not give us pastors and prophets and teachers just so that we can just show up on Sunday and hear them scream at you and then go on and we just do what we do, what we've always done. That is not the purpose for why he gave us the gift of the pastor, the gift of the prophet and the evangelist. Those are gifts of Christ that God has equipped the church with for the building up and the edifying of the church so that the church can go out and be effective in the community. Effective in our world, to demonstrate the fullness of Jesus Christ in the marketplace. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. See, I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't necessarily feel that. And I realize that I need to be a part of the collective body of Christ. I need to be a part of the church. Why? Because within the church, there is the equipment. See, the church is the equipping house for us to grow and develop so that we can go out and do the work for Jesus Christ. Not for us to just have our weekly weekend show. Because for some people, that's just kind of what it boils down to. It's just, I'm going to my weekly concert. It's tight, but it's right. But I realize that there are times when there's some areas I need to grow up in. I need to mature in and develop in. Would you agree? The best way to do that is to stick around, amen? Stay close. Stay close. You know, I said this the other day, and you just grow up and you learn things, and it's like the more you know, the more you know you don't know. Right, the more information and knowledge that you get, you realize, man, there's some things that I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong, God is giving us revelation and he's opening things up to us in his word. It's always been there, right? But it just brings you to a sense of awareness where you realize, man, I really thought I knew what I was talking about. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for revealing this in my life. Right? That's the equipment. That's the equipping. And you don't get that by being off by yourself somewhere. You get that by being within the body. Amen? So we're stronger together. That's my first point. Point number two is that we are one. We are one. Amen? The idea of the body of Christ brings us to our next point, that we are to be one. In fact, you might say that today's message is brought to you by the one, amen. Jesus. Amen? See, one is the number of togetherness. See, Paul doesn't leave much room for anything else when he explains that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See, we serve the one, Jesus. Amen. And collectively as the body of Christ, you know, we're a part of the body of Christ, but collectively, as even this congregation, you know, we're not just two or a few, we're one. Amen? We aren't instructed to act like one or to be kinda, sorta, pretty much unified, but to be one. This body is the perfect metaphor. The body, actually the human body, is the perfect metaphor for this idea. See, our body, our human bodies are amazingly complex. Would you agree? Even though these bodies are made up of many parts with individual purposes and functions, they are one. Like my fingers, they're my fingers, but at the end of the day, that's me. That's me. Right? I don't want my fingers to get hurt because that hurts me. You understand? So even though these bodies, our human bodies, are made up of many parts and have individual purposes and functions, they are one. And each part needs the others to be whole and to function cohesively. If you spend much time in church, this idea of the body of Christ probably sounds pretty familiar. But think about those Ephesians. This was a revolutionary concept for them. It was actually a revolutionary concept for them. They hadn't heard this concept before. See, we hear this all the time. But they heard this concept, and it is one that Paul often used to explain the importance of being together as one. In Romans, he says, it is like this. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, if I do something that ultimately hurts me, it actually hurts the church. See, when you're hurting, the rest of us are hurting. Why? Because we're one body. We're one body. Sometimes our independent selves, our mindset, will get the best of us. See, some of us, like, we don't want to belong to nobody. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No, we're one together. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you're a part of the body of Christ. But sometimes we get so, you know, we just get so, you know, puffed up. You know, we independent. I want to do my own thing. But I'm going to tell you, belonging is surviving. You stay out there long enough, you will die off the vine. But think about it like this. Like if an eyeball decides to detach from the body, it's not going to be good news for that eyeball, is it? See, the second you pull a fruit off of a tree, it starts dying. The same is true for the heart, the ears, or even your big toes, right? But see, when all the parts are working together as one, the body functions smoothly and correctly. Sometimes, more than at other times, of course, the body is functioning at a certain level. But it's functioning because it's together. It's connected. It's like the church. When we come together and we're functioning, we're going, we're doing things together, and it's a great opportunity. When we're moving in the same direction and everybody is on one accord, man, great things begin to happen in the church. And then sometimes there can be lulls, right? But ultimately, when we're working together, when all engines are good, and we're all plugging away, man, we get some great things accomplished. Amen. Amen. That's how God wants us to function, working together. Working together. So Paul, he understood that. In the 15th verse of Ephesians chapter 4, he instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, the Bible is full of metaphors for this concept of being one. Jesus taught about the vine and the branches in John 15. Ephesians and Corinthians both refer to the church as the bride of Christ. And there are numerous references to how believers are one in God's household or family. In all these descriptions, we as the church are told to be one. Together, we can become a place of refuge, not a place of judgment. A place where we can come honestly in our weakness. A place of great service and kingdom work. And a place of rest, worship, and healing. A house of refuge. A place where people can come and they know that, hey, you know what? This is a safe place to be. I can grow here. I can develop here. I can learn here. I can develop relationships here. That's what we want to create. Amen. I think this idea that together as one body we become stronger is the reason believers can't just listen to a podcast of sermons or just go to church online. Well, I just have church at my house. That's great. But you need the body of Christ. You need to be around other believers where you can grow, where you can learn. Hey, guess what? There are things that we need to learn from you. There are talents and skills and abilities that you have that God requires in his house. We need you. We need one another. Amen?
Amen.
So we are one. Point number three, and I'm going to get ready to close out with this, but that growth actually requires change. Would you agree?
Yes.
It actually requires change. Change is good. Now, I know there's some people that when I said that word, it was almost like I dropped a bowling ball on their foot. It's like, I hate change. Even though change can be hard sometimes, it is good. And it goes hand in hand with growth. Hand in hand. How many of you want to grow? You actually want to develop and grow as a human being, as a person, you know, just on all levels, right? Well, it requires some discomfort. It requires some change. Neuroscience used to think thoughts shaped actions. But scientists and researchers are increasingly seeing that actions shape our thoughts. The more often you perform an action or behave a certain way, the more it gets physically wired in your brain. This neuroplasticity allows us to choose actions that create new pathways in our brains. Now, Pastor Philip, why are you up talking about neuroscience today? And I'm not a scientist. But it helps to explain what we can do in order to change and grow. See, what we do matters. What we meditate on matters. What we say matters. Matters to a point that they've actually done research, and they've seen that the habits that we form and we create, they actually hardwire us to continue to do those things. That's why I believe that when the Word of God says meditate on the Word day and night, yes. God created the human body. Right. Yes. He understands that there are things that you can do, habits that you can form that will be good and healthy to you, not only to your spirit, but also to your psyche. Set your mind on things above. Put on the mind of Christ. He's speaking to every part of man. He's saying, look, man, I know how you're wired. Just obey my word. You're going to be all right. So why are we talking about this? Well, I believe it helps to explain what we can do in order to change and grow. And we understand, I believe we can all agree, that change doesn't happen overnight. Most change doesn't happen overnight. And it's a slow process. But while we would like to control all of our thoughts and feelings, the only thing that we can truly control is our actions. At the end of the day, the only thing that I can control is the next thing that I'm going to do. I can't control nobody. Sometimes I can't even control the thoughts that come to my mind. But I can control my actions. So let's say something comes to my mind and it totally goes against what I believe, goes against the word of God, and it's just the enemy. I know it's the enemy. Guess what? I have a decision to make on how I'm going to respond to that thought. I have control over the next thing that I do. So what I choose to do is going to affect my outcome. Yeah, it's going to either be good or bad. But the consequence will be because of the action that I took. See, the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Saying, hey, here's the action, resist him, and guess what? The result is he's going to run from you. If that's true, then the opposite would be true. Accept the devil, and he's going to stay with you for a little bit. He's going to camp out a little bit. He's going to start squatting. You know, at first he a visitor. Just, you know, it's temporarily how he gonna be here for just temporary. But, you know, we just keep accepting him. And then now, next thing you know, getting mail. Starting to get mail show up at the house, right? Moving, beat you home. Like, really? How'd you get in here? Yeah. Oh, you got to kick him out. You got to put him out. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. But if we want to see growth in our body of believers, we have to commit to working our muscles. We have to commit. And you know, working the muscles is not a comfortable thing. It's not comfortable. Right? But we have to commit to working our muscles. We have to, you know, we have to form the brain pathways all over again. Amen. See, choosing to act in obedience to God despite the thoughts or feelings that we may have or that may come our way, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. Amen. The early, and I'm getting ready to close, but the early church, the early 20th century evangelist and teacher Oswald Chambers wrote in his famous devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. He said, as soon as we abandon ourselves to God and do the task he has placed closest to us, he begins to fill our lives with surprises. See, the moment that we begin to take God at his word and we begin to obey him and we begin to serve him and follow him sincerely, like I'm doing it right this time, right? And we begin to serve him, then we begin to, he begins to open up things that we didn't see before. See, we thought we had it figured out. We thought we had figured all the possibilities, but we miscalculated because we didn't do the very thing that we needed to do all along, which was to really follow God wholeheartedly and seek after him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do you see the connection? We grow stronger by trusting God. Together we grow stronger by trusting God and doing the next thing he tells us to do. Being action takers. Taking action. Amen.
Amen.
And we encourage each other on the journey along the way. We support one another in that effort. And as we put one foot in front of the other together, we trust that God will bring about meaningful growth and lasting changes in our lives, in our church, and in the world. As we continue this process together, we sharpen each other and complement each other. We grow and experience transformation. See, Paul spends much of the rest of Ephesians instructing and reminding the church at Ephesus that as believers, their behaviors and actions should look different from the world around them. The 22nd verse, Paul says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. He goes on to say, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. See, when I get in the Word and I begin to meditate on the Word, there's a mind renewal process that's taking place where the old hang-ups and the whole old habits that I used to have begin to fall off because there's a renewing, there's a transformation that's taking place on the inside of me. And there's no self-help book. There's no specialists out there. There's no tapes out there. There's no other media out there that can take the place of mind transformational Bible reading to renew my mind. Say it with me. You know better.
You know better.
That's what Paul is saying. He's like, you were taught. You know what to do. So do what you were taught to do. See, a lot of us are walking around trying to figure out where the answers is. It's already in you. You know, it's like people, nowadays everybody knows how to lose weight. You can know exactly what to do and just not do it. The difference between you having the results and not having the results is one person did it and one person didn't do it. Why they always walking around blessed? Why they got the joy of the Lord? Did you read your Bible today? What's the first thing you did today? I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, wake up on the other side. Where your Bible is at. Come on, man. Let's do what we know to do. Either we're going to win together or we're going to suffer together. Let's win together. Let's win together. Amen. You know, Paul also, he doesn't sugarcoat things, because he says, you know, that he talks about joy, he talks about love, he talks about unity, he talks about all these things, but he also talks about the reality that it's going to be challenging. We're going to face some challenges. But he brings to us assurance that we don't have to go through that alone. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he actually goes on to say this. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, when all my energy and all my efforts and all my skill set has come to its end, I realize that I got nothing else. And the only thing I got is really the only thing that I ever need. And that's God working on my behalf. Thank you, Lord. See, the church will never be a perfect place. It will never be a perfect group, because it always has imperfect people. We acknowledge this. We accept it. But we don't want to use it as an excuse or to settle on habits or practices that do not really display God's best. I want to be an impact. See, he wants to strengthen and use us as his body here on the earth, not later when we go to heaven. He wants to use us now in his fullness now, not halfway, not half measures, all the way, right now, in this present time. He wants us to experience the joy of being one body, being healthy and growing and full of love. He wants that. Believer, God wants you walking around downcast. He wants you to be full of joy, full of peace, full of love, so that when you interface with people in your world, that they see that there's something different on the inside of you. See, you know when there's been transformation in your life, when you start going to the grocery store or going to the doctor's office or going different places and people looking at you strange, trying to figure out why you're so happy. Why you don't look like everybody else is like, just mad at the air. Just mad. What's wrong with you, the air? Just mad. I'm not talking about a superficial, you know, just play acting thing. I'm talking about real joy on the inside. Look, I'm glad that I'm up this morning. Man, thank you, Lord. There's some people that didn't get a chance to wake up because the house burned up. Thank you, Lord. My house is still standing. You know, I imagine, and you know, I pray all anytime I hear about things happening in our country, where national disasters and things like that. You know, I pray for people. I don't know the people. I pray. I see a car crash somewhere, and I'm driving, and I need to turn around. I'm praying for them. I don't know what happened, but I'm praying for them. Right? But I imagine in Texas right now, with the flooding that they're getting. Even in the midst of that, there are some saints right now. There's the church that are present. And even though they're going through the same challenges and same tragic situation that other people who are not saved are going through, there's a joy on the inside of them that's going to be able to not only impact their situation, but impact the people that are going through the same thing. See, God makes the difference. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. There's things that happen to us all, but the difference maker is we got Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
To help us get through that situation.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We got each other. We got each other. So let's let the church be the church. Amen. Not despise the church, but recognize that, hey, there's strength in numbers.
Amen.
And when we come together, we are one. And if we really want to grow, we need to expect that there's going to be some change. But we're doing that together. And we'll be stronger for it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Bow your heads with me. Father God, I thank you for your word. Your word is so good. All we need to do is just stay with it. Just stay with your word, not get off and get into our own stuff, but just follow your direction, your plan, your guidelines, Lord. And so, Lord, just as your church and as individuals, Lord, we say yes to your word. We say yes to your way. Lord, forgive us where we missed it, where we messed up and gotten just off, gotten away from God, away from the church. But most importantly, we've neglected the relationship with you. I thank you that you are faithful and you are just to forgive us where we miss it and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank you, Lord. And so we ask you for that forgiveness. We ask you to do that renewing in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue to do the daily disciplines of getting in your word, Father. And allowing for the word of God to renew our minds. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for helping us to continue to make efforts of walking together with other believers, developing relationship with other believers, and beginning to allow God's love to not only transform our hearts to the fullest, but also sharing that love with other people in our community. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you for helping us as we make conscious effort to do what we need to do for your kingdom. We realize that the work doesn't even begin until we step out of this place. In the house is the equipping. Out of the house is the work. So we thank you, Lord, for hearing our hearts. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.